Welcome to the Tech Webcast Podcast, episode 402, recorded on the 5th of November 2016. Tech Webcast is recorded every Saturday at noon Melbourne time. Rate us on iTunes and like us at facebook.com/techwebcast. Follow us on Twitter at Tech Webcast and download the Tech Webcast iPhone or Android app. And you can also support us at patreon.com/techwebcast. Your hosts today are Brad, Jacob, and myself, Daryl, and we've got two guests today. Firstly, from Swan, Jeremy Stewart, and later from Dutch Vinyl, Tam.
Hello, Daryl. How are you, mate?
I am good and well. How are you?
Good, mate. Action-packed show today. I'm looking forward to it.
It is going to be a great show today. I mean, two guests today, so double the price if you
and
like.
Also, yeah. Two guests next week too.
Excellent.
Busy podcast. Yes, indeed. How's your week been, mate?
It's been good. I had a good steady week at work, just doing more stuff on video conferencing, and we're looking at using Moodle for our, which is a learning management system for blended learning. So we've been madly doing training sessions on that to help trainers and help us get our heads around it. And I was just saying, it's been blowing a gale up here. And if everyone thinks I've got a bit of a croaky voice, it's hay fever season for me. So if I sound a bit like Louis Armstrong or something, it'll be because of the hay fever. And it's the 5th of November today. And remember the 5th of November, gunpowder, treason and plot. So it's Guy Fawkes Day here in Australia. That's just a bit of info.
Oh, really?
Yep, Guy Fawkes. Remember the 5th of November, gunpowder, treason and plot. And when I was young, we used to have fireworks in the evening, the whole town would be lit up with fireworks. Everybody would be lighting their fireworks. But of course, now that fireworks are banned in most parts of Australia, except for the professionals, Guy Fawkes Night died with the fireworks ban, but it used to be huge when I was a kid.
Awesome. Well, that's interesting to hear that.
Yes, yeah. As I was reading out the intro, I thought 5th of November, and I thought forgotten that yes, it's Guy Fawkes Night. Anyway, that's your bit of historical nonsense for the podcast.
There you go, people. Good information from Daryl Hunt. Jacob, how's your week been, mate?
All righty.
Any exciting happen during the week, mate?
Ordered one bag of candy and somehow I got two.
What's
that's all right.
Two's better than one.
Yeah, I don't know. Because I was following it on my tracking. It looked like it was going back.
Okay.
Then what? Last week I got it and I was like, that was it. Then all of a sudden today, another bag popped up. Same tracking number and everything.
So they must have sent you an extra one by mistake.
They must have got a bit confused.
Or they printed two labels.
Could have.
Well, they don't listen to this podcast.
Yes, I'll be asking for it back. I hope you saved that packet, Jacob.
It's already.
Can you imagine that?
Yes, I got contacted. We sent you a wrong packet of candy. Can you please send it back?
Actually, they would be contacting Brad.
Nah, I think you're pretty safe. I don't think they're going to do anything.
Yeah. So, anything else, Jacob?
Nothing really. I'm just waiting for Thanksgiving to get up and get took us over here.
Okay.
I want to tear into some turkey.
I'm sure you do.
Yeah.
I'm sure you do, mate. I'm sure you do. We got. Go. What are you going
to say? No, usually I go over to my brother's, his neighbor comes over, and makes. They bring almost two turkeys. for just about 5 or 6 people.
Do you eat turkey, Daryl?
Yeah, I do. Christmas time, we usually have, you know, different meats like, you know, chicken and turkey and pork and that. But I've been fortunate that back in 2006, I went to the States and stayed with my brother and sister-in-law and for Thanksgiving. So we did the Thanksgiving, you know, meal, and it was really nice. It's for those in, you know, like in Australia who hear of Thanksgiving but don't really know a lot about it. I mean, it's like having a Christmas meal in a way, an Australian Christmas meal, but you don't have presents. So you sit down with the families and have a lovely, you know, long meal, and it's a real way of families getting together. And I really like it. I think it's a nice way of getting together.
And being thankful that you have family.
Yeah, particularly where in Australia, Christmas is celebrated bigger because it's summer here, and so, you know, people have their Christmas break, they go and stay with family or they go travelling, and then they have the summer holidays, whereas perhaps in the States it's Christmas Day happens and then a lot of people are just back to work the next day. So Thanksgiving, really? I think, yeah. I mean, my brother was telling me that, you know, like I said to him when he first went over to the States, you know, I was really ignorant, and I said, well, how long you got up for your Christmas break? And he said, what do you mean Christmas break? He said, we get Christmas Day, and then he said, we're back to work, depending on, you know, if it's not on a weekend, we're back to work the next day. Whereas Thanksgiving is sort of much, is in a way a bigger holiday. I mean, Jacob would probably say that it's a bigger holiday than Christmas.
Is that correct, Jacob?
Yes.
Okay. All right, good stuff. We've got Jeremy on. Welcome back, Jeremy, to the podcast, mate. Good to have you on.
Great to be back. Thanks for having me.
No problem. So you want to talk about smart security?
Yeah, well, it's actually interesting you guys talking about Thanksgiving, Christmas, the holiday season, because that's actually the number one time for break-ins and burglaries, both in Australia and the US.
That's a nice segue.
timely to have a chat about security, I guess.
Good stuff. And you were on a few weeks back talking about some drones, which we got in the mail too. Thank you for that, by the way, too, mate.
My pleasure.
So yeah, we're going to do a big...
I'd love to know what you guys think of them once you've taken them out and had a fly.
Yep. Yeah, we're going to do a big podcast on drones once we've all had a chance to fly them, and we're going to do a podcast on Dronecast or something, you should call it. But
yeah,
Dronecast.
Yeah, the other fun thing about those drones that we talked about, that was the... we call it our brand's Extreme, and they were the... Raptor Eye is what we call it, the Extreme Raptor Eye. The other good thing about those drones is they record video, so you can take video of the flights that when you get up and flying, and then compare flights. So it's that's pretty cool too.
Awesome, yeah, very cool. 720p too, great video quality too.
Yeah, HD quality, HD. And they have audio too.
Yep, awesome. Daryl, do you want to fire off the interview, mate?
Yeah, look, I mean. With security, you know, we all need, you know, even in the bush now, you know, the days of leaving your door unlocked and wandering around is sort of gone. For most people, because, you know, you can almost go overboard too if you spend a lot of money. What do you sort of have recommendations of what you would think for the average person, if you like, for a home or an apartment or something like that? What sort of system would be the best for them to sort of set up or invest in at the beginning?
Yeah, Daryl, you're right. You know, the days, and I remember going away on summer holidays when I was a kid, and we actually left the front door unlocked for the 4 weeks we were away. I remember coming home and the door was unlocked, and we just left it that way because we weren't afraid of... I grew up in the country in Victoria, and we just weren't afraid of break-ins or crime at all. You know, those days are past, and depending on where you are in Australia, crime rates are rising, particularly in Victoria, not so much in New South Wales and some of the other states, but certainly in Victoria, the burglary rate and the crime rate has increased. And so, you know, a lot of people are thinking more about security these days. What we recommend for a typical house is 4 cameras. We recommend a wired system. With a wired system, you get a more stable video signal. You don't get the kind of interference of a wireless system. A wireless system can be good if you only want 1 or 2 cameras. But any more than that, and I recommend a wired system. So you have the cameras set up around your house. I recommend a minimum of four. They run a cable into a DVR or an NVR. That's an abbreviation for a digital video recorder or a network video recorder, kind of like a DVD player that has a hard drive inside, and the cameras connect into the back of that box, and then that box connects to your internet connection in your home. So you connect it using an Ethernet cable into your router. If you were in a small business or something, you might connect it into a network, but yeah, basically that DVR that or that NVR connects into your internet connection, and then away you go. You can then see the cameras live on your smartphone or remotely on a laptop or another device. You know, we have at Swan, we have a number of apps that allow you to view the cameras live. Also record, you can record both onto the DVR, but also you can record onto your phone or tablet's memory itself. So if something does happen, you can actually record the video. There's also motion detection. So if you are away from home and someone came over that you weren't expecting, a burglar or just someone that you didn't want on your premises, it'll record the activity because of the motion detection. And you can set the sensitivity of that. You can set it so that if it was a pet or something small, it wouldn't trigger the motion. But if it was a person or a larger object like a car, it will set off the motion detection. So there's plenty of options. But basically, yeah, we recommend four cameras as a start. Depending on the resolution you go for, the price of a four-camera system is going to be somewhere around or starting at about $500 up to maybe $1,000 or $1,200 depending on the resolution that you choose. So there's lots of options, but we certainly recommend thinking about video surveillance or CCTV for the deterrent factor, preventing crime, but also seeing what's happening. And then in the event that something bad does happen, you've got that video evidence as well. So there's lots of options, and we'll talk about some of them today.
Awesome. Let's hear about it. And Jeremy, what sort of options?
One of the most exciting developments in this space has been, and I know you guys will know about this given, you know, you do a tech podcast, but this idea of the connected home and the smart home, you know, wireless devices that you can interconnect, you know, with the latest technology. And so what we have is a new product called our Smart Series, and it basically brings together the two worlds of CCTV and video surveillance and that type of wired system that I mentioned earlier. And it has the wireless smarts inside. It has Wi-Fi and Zigbee, two of the sort of prevalent wireless technologies that are out in the marketplace. It has Wi-Fi and Zigbee, which allows our security system to then interconnect with other devices around the home wirelessly. So what you can now have is you can have video surveillance, but you can combine it with, you know, alarm sensors and a wireless siren and smart lighting and smart locks and other devices. You can interconnect them all wirelessly and control them all on one app. So it's really cool. And that is what we do quite a lot of market research at Swan, and that's what our consumers tell us when they think of security. They want total security. They want the ability to prevent bad things happening, so sort of around the perimeter of their home, but they also want to be able to sort of control the inside and what's going on inside as well. So if you think about scenarios around the home, you can now have it so that if an intruder comes, it'll start video recording, but that motion can actually trigger your lights coming on. So if you think of it, if someone was coming at nighttime and they come onto the property, before they get to your house, you can have it so a light turns on, you're notified, you get a push notification to tell you there's been activity. You can have the siren go off, you can have video start recording, and it's all kind of controllable using your everyday smartphone or tablet. So
very cool.
There's lots of options now, and I guess that's Swan's point of difference. Is it's all about security for us. There are other players out there in the connected home and smart home space, but for us, we're specialists and number one in that security space. So yeah, we're really, really excited about Smart Series because it brings it all together, and it's what consumers tell us that they want.
So is it like modular that if maybe your budget doesn't stretch to four cameras, so you start off with two cameras, for example, and then later on you think, well, I can afford then, you know, another two cameras. So can you sort of, can you just add to it as your budget sort of improves?
You can. You can actually go on our website, swan.com, or one of our reseller websites and kind of cherry pick your own system. You could start with two cameras and you know, have a DVR and then, as I say, two cameras, have a DVR and then add other cameras as you go, other devices as you go. What we find with a lot of our customers is they like the simplicity of just sort of plug and play and buying a kit. So we have a system we've just launched that's called our Complete Home Security System, and that has four cameras, the recording, two window door sensors, what's called a PIR, passive infrared sensor, that also detects motion and heat, and then a wireless siren, and all that combined retails for under $900, and that's available from, you know, leading retailers like JB Hi-Fi, Harvey Norman, Officeworks, people like that. But that's what a lot of our customers like, is sort of to be able to plug and play, take it home in one box, it's all there and away they go. But the beauty of that system is the DVR has eight channels, meaning you can actually add another four cameras later on if you want, because it comes with four cameras as standard, but being eight channels, it means you can actually stream eight video channels if you want, so you can add extra cameras. So that's kind of the what a lot of our customers do, is they'll buy it sort of a ready-made box and maybe add accessories and add extra cameras later. So that's you know, probably what most of our customers do, but certainly some of them do like to sort of start from the ground up and build the components and cherry pick the exact components they want as they go.
And I presume with, you know, setting up a system like this, that within, like, when you've got your comprehensive home insurance, that I know in the past, you know, if you had deadlocks on your windows and various other things, you know, your insurance company was more likely to give you a bit of a discount on your insurance. But I presume if that might be the case too, if you had a system like that set up and you're getting comprehensive insurance for your house, and you could say to your insurance company, well, by the way, I've got, you know, a four camera system and I've got infrared this and that, that it may mean that you could offset some of the cost of setting it up with whatever your annual insurance, comprehensive, or home and contents insurance would be.
Yeah, spot on, Daryl. The beauty of this system is it's a one-off cost to you when you buy it. So it retails for, as I say, $899.95, this particular system. But you're right. In having alarm sensors and an outdoor siren, you can go back to your insurance company and tell them about it. And when you have that discussion with your insurance company and they have that sort of questionnaire they do, what they ask you, what they will ask the listeners is, how many alarm sensors have you got? So you can tell them with this particular system, you've got three. You know, you could add extras, as we talked about. They ask you if you've got an outdoor siren, and you can say, yes, you do. They ask you, does it have a flashing light? This one does have a red flashing light. And they ask you, is it loud? And you can say it's 110 decibels. So, and then they will give you a discount on your insurance premium for that year. So, and for subsequent years. So it is, there is a real cost saving to people, both in terms of the one-off cost of the purchase, but then also in the insurance discount that you get. And then of course the preventative aspect of it, and hopefully it's going to help prevent crime from occurring at your home, and that's going to be a saving to you as well. So, yeah, a lot of our customers really feel like they come out ahead in terms of the overall cost and the ongoing cost. The other thing is, you know, most of our products are do-it-yourself. I think you need to have basic handy person skills. You know, you need to be able to use a cordless drill and a hammer and screwdriver. If you can't, you know, if you feel that that's beyond your skill level, or you don't have the time because you're too busy, you can contact Swan and we can help organise installation as well. So there's lots of options there.
Great.
But yeah, it's basically a professional quality system with high quality 1080p full HD video, the sort of system that you'd think would be professional grade and would cost maybe $5,000 for someone to come and install for you. Well, with this, you can buy it yourself, install it yourself, or get someone to come help install it for you, and you're going to be miles ahead in terms of the cost and the benefits of having it.
And, very nice, Jake.
And, yeah, and you also do professional grade services as well, I guess, too, for the those that got businesses or factories or other things like that. Or are you more just in the home?
We do both home and commercial. The split for us is 80% of our business is home, 20% is business or commercial. We have this particular smart series is 1080p HD, which gives that really good image quality that you're used to seeing on your flat screen TV. But there are some people who want more than that. So we now have systems up to or that sit sort of between 1080p and 4K. In the security industry, they talk about it being 3, 4, and 5 megapixels. Just to clarify how that's what that means, 1080p is 2 megapixels. So you think of it being, you know, half again of 1080p or double 1080p or 2.5 times the resolution quality of 1080p. So some of the systems are really, really crisp, super HD quality, really good image quality. And in fact, we're about to launch 4K at the CES trade show in Las Vegas in January. So we're pushing into Ultra HD.
Awesome.
And I think by this time next year, you know, Ultra HD will be on shelf in Australia and be something that, you know, a lot of people are able to purchase and afford. So the image quality is getting better all the time. And that means that for everyday users, you know, you can see license plates, you can see facial detail, you can see the eye color, the color of the eyes of the person that's walked past your camera. You can see, you know, the clothing colors, you can see the denomination of a note, you know, a currency note. And you know, for Jacob, think of in America how, you know, the notes, a lot of them all look similar. You know, these sorts of surveillance systems can drill in and you can see the exact, whether it's a $5 or a $10 note. You know, it's the image quality is fantastic, and that's great for that zoom ability, being able to zoom in and see things up close. So yeah, it's getting the image quality is getting better all the time, and that's a, you know, of great benefit for people who want to be safe and want to see what's happening.
Good stuff, Jeremy. Jacob, you got a question for Jeremy? Go ahead, mate.
Yeah, I've been trying to ask. So, would you like integrate, like we have over here, like it's called the Ring service? It's like the Ring doorbell. Is there a way that you can integrate it into that security system?
So Ring is a wireless doorbell system. That unfortunately, that doesn't integrate with Swan at the moment. We have a similar product that we're releasing in the next month, which will be a battery-powered, you know, wireless door phone system that will allow you to basically answer the door from anywhere. You can, you know, when you get a ring at the doorbell or there's motion at your doorway, it sends you an alert. You can then log onto the app, see who's at the door, and then decide whether or not you're going to let them in. You can actually talk, have a conversation with the person at the door. You don't have to, they can't see you, but you can see them. You can choose whether or not you let them in or not. It records video too. So it records, if someone comes to the door, the motion will trigger a video recording. Or if somehow they don't, you know, the camera doesn't see them, but they ring the doorbell, that will also trigger video. And then you can log on and play back that video remotely on your smartphone. So the priority for us, I guess, is to integrate as many products as we can into our Swan ecosystem. Ring's unfortunately not one that we have integrated at the moment. We do have, there's another product, Nest. I think you guys would know the Nest thermostat.
Yep.
That is a product that we have integrated with our ecosystem as well. So you can, if you have a Nest thermostat installed in your home, you can actually use our app to help control the temperature in your home. So you can set it so if you're regularly home at 7 p.m. of a night, you can make sure that the half an hour before you come home, the Nest thermostat comes on and regulates the temperature so it's just right when you get home. You can also have it so that, you know, the light is on your hallway or your porchway when you get home so that you don't have to come home in the dark at a set time. There's lots of things you can do, and it's all sort of controllable and integratable into the one ecosystem, which is really cool.
Very cool. Sounds great. How long can you record video for? What's the maximum you can record video for?
So the system we use to help us quantify that, Brad, is we talk about typically cameras like ours and the ones we're talking about, capture motion on average 15% of the time.
Okay.
So we talk about you know, 15% motion events. Now, some houses will get less than that. It'll only be like 2 to 5%. Some other premises, like a small business, it might be higher, might be 20 or 30%. But typically for this smart series system I'm talking about that has four cameras, you can record for about 80 days.
Jeez.
Based on 15% motion. And that's 1080p video from the four cameras for those 80 days. So you get a lot of recording, you know, and that's great because you think about it, if you go away for 2 weeks and there's an incident on day one, you want to make sure that's still on the hard drive when you get home.
Yeah, definitely.
And that's certainly the case. The sort of the compression technology has really improved a lot over the years, so they can record for a long time. This system that I'm talking about today has a large 1 terabyte hard drive installed. And that's the other thing, is there's a number of systems out there like Ring where you actually have to pay a cloud fee, a fee to record to the cloud.
Okay.
We don't do that. Our system, you record to hard drive and you can play back remotely if you want. Because a lot of our customers have told us they don't like the extra cost of having to, you know, subscribe to, you know, a cloud service for 12 months or something like that. And they don't like having to rely on the internet for their recording. There's you know, they've got concerns about the reliability of their internet connection, or they're scared about hacking, or, you know, they've got security concerns around the cloud. So certainly that's what we do with most of our systems, is we have recording to the hard drive. You can also access that remotely. Sometimes it's called edge of cloud, but yes, you can access the recording remotely using your smartphone. And that's true of this smart series system and also the new door phone that we're bringing out in the next month or two.
Awesome, mate. Now, what about if you want to put it onto your big TV, onto your big screen TV, does that do AirPlay or Apple TV support?
It comes with an HDMI cable as standard. So what most people do is they will locate the DVR box you know, we talked about. They'll locate that near their TV or near a TV in their house, and then use the HDMI cable or a VGA cable to which is, you know, for the listeners that who don't know, that's the blue one that goes into, you know, computer monitors and the like. But they'll use HDMI or VGA out of the back of the DVR into their TV, and then that allows them to kind of have a local security system, if you will. You're still recording and being able to use it over the internet and on your smartphone, but when you're home, you can just flick the switch, you know, just hit basically the source button on your remote control and look at HDMI 2 or 3 or 4 or VGA and see the cameras live locally on your TV. And a lot of people do that. I've got a system at home and I do that. And, you know, if there's a ring at the doorbell or something, you can just quickly flick it on and see who's there and away you go. So, yeah, a lot of people do that. And, you know, without kind of going overboard, the image quality is fantastic on these systems now. You know, you think of when we used to see ads for Crime Stoppers and things in the past, and, you know, you'd see little crime videos on the news and on A Current Affair in years gone by. It was that really grainy, hazy footage where you couldn't really make out anything. The image quality's just come along in leaps and bounds, and so the sort of professional grade type video quality that you think would cost thousands and thousands of dollars is now really affordable and available to everyday people. And that's true in both the US, where our products are available in a lot of the leading retailers like Best Buy, Walmart, you know, Costco, Sam's Club, places like that. But also true here in Australia with, you know, Harvey Norman, JB Hi-Fi, Officeworks, Good Guys, and Swan.com, where you can get really good professional grade video at an affordable price, and the image quality is fantastic now. So certainly the days of the hazy video where you couldn't make out what was happening are a thing of the past.
Yeah,
thank goodness.
Definitely, mate. Definitely. Now, when are they available to purchase?
So Smart Series is available right now. I mentioned the retailers again, but, you know, JB, Harvey's, Officeworks, Good Guys, and Swan.com, and that's SWANN.com. And if you go on there, you'll also see there's some other resellers listed. But, available now and under $900. And, yeah, we're really excited about it. I think it brings together the world of video surveillance and smart home security, or, you know, some people call connected home security. And we're expanding with other devices and other brands being added into our ecosystem all the time. So, you know, some of the others like Kwikset Locks, Philips Hue Lighting, Yale, Lockwood Locks, Samsung Smart Things, Nest Thermostat. There's lots of other brands and other devices that you can integrate in and then control it all on your smartphone and away you go. So it's really exciting times, I think.
Cool. Now, what about if people don't have access, can other people access the video if they don't have like the setup? Can anyone else, like for example, can Jacob access my surveillance video or the live video?
Only if you gave him access. You have the DVR has an IP address.
Yep.
And you could, if you chose to give Jacob access, or for that matter, another family member, let's say, you know, your partner or yep. you know, your dad or something, you wanted them to have access, you can set up the security system on their smartphones as well.
Oh, sweet. Okay.
But you control that. And so you decide who can have access. There is 128-bit encryption on the video signal and on the smart home ecosystem. It's sort of bank level encryption, so it certainly can't be hacked. But if you chose to give other people access, you could. So you can have multiple users all able to see the video and able to, you know, communicate with the ecosystem. So if you think of that for everyday users, that might be a situation where, like, I've got a 14-year-old daughter. She has a smartphone. I held out as long as I could, but eventually I had to get her a smartphone. And so she can log on if she wants. She can see, you know, who's home. She can also turn the light on if she was coming home late from school or whatever. So certainly there's options. I can be alerted when she comes home. So it's good to have you know, other family members who are able to be, you know, using the system as well. So, but yeah, you definitely can control who's able to use it, and certainly if there was someone you didn't want having access, they can't have access unless you give it to them. And it's all username and password protected too. And just like with your, I think the best example to give you is like your internet banking. You wouldn't give your username and password or your PIN out to other people. Same with your security system. And where you should, you know, change your PIN every now and again, same with your security system, you probably should change your password every now and again. And what we encourage our customers to do is, as soon as they get the system set up, is log in and customize their username and password right from the start. So unlike some cheap systems that are on the market where you just log on and away you go, there's really no username. It's sort of a default username and password that is very much hackable. Our system's all, you know, as I say, 120-bit AES encryption. It's protected, it's private, but you still need to be vigilant. You need to make sure you protect your username and password and look after it the same way you will with your internet banking.
Awesome. Okay, Jeremy, so anything else you want to mention before we have we left anything out you want to mention at all, mate?
Just for people who are thinking about it, just log on to swan.com. There's video content there. We're adding more videos all the time. We've got a couple of really good videos we're going to add in the next week onto our website. So, yeah, go to swan.com, swann.com, and check out the content there. There's also we've just completed a video instruction guide so that if you're worried about your ability to do the installation, the video instruction guide steps you through all the ins and outs of how to install it, how to get it going on your smartphone, get it connected to the internet to help you do it. But if you do have any troubles or you're worried, give us a call at Swan and our customer service team, happy to help you.
Good stuff. Now, the camera, what's the camera made out of? Is it high quality? What's it made out of?
That's a good question. I'm just having to check my notes here. It's actually, it is aluminium.
Okay, so
it's
nice.
It is aluminium, and it's actually rated IP66, which is the rating they use for weather, water and dust proofing. So it's able to be used. The cameras are weatherproof, so they're IP66 rated, and they have the cable managed through their base, so the cable doesn't hang out loose that's vulnerable to the elements or able to be cut. The cable sort of threaded through the base of the camera. So yeah, they're definitely durable, weatherproof. And the other thing, one other one to mention too is They have really good quality night vision. Each of the cameras has night vision up to 100 feet or 30 meters, and that turns on automatically in low light. So you get that. If anyone's a fan of the show Survivor after Tribal Council, and they come back and all have a bitch about who got voted out, it's that sort of image quality, that black and white image quality, but it's good quality, and you can see what's happening. And the motion detection and all the other features still run even at night with the infrared night vision. So that's pretty cool too.
Awesome. Thanks so much for being on, Jeremy. You're a legend, mate. Great information.
Yep. And happy to be here, guys.
Good to have you on, Jeremy. Darryl, any last questions for Jeremy before we go to Dutch Vinyl?
I was just thinking of all the different options you could have. And when you're talking about, when Jacob mentioned about, you know, having, or you mentioned about having other people accessing it, I think another way would be too, an assistance would be if you had like elderly parents or elderly grandparents, and you'd set up a system for them, and then you could access it as well from an app, so that you could sort of, you know, every so often on your phone, you could just sort of almost like check in a way and make sure they were okay or nothing had happened to them, particularly, you know, sometimes some of those people, like elderly people are preyed on by, well, recently, you know, people wandering around wanting to renovate their homes or improve, fix roof problems and that. So you've got that sort of option too, where if it's for elderly people, if you've got elderly parents or grandparents, it could be very useful.
Yeah, definitely, yeah, definitely.
Good point, Darryl. And, you know, the other thing is it's really good with the alerts, like the sort of the notifications, push notifications and emails it sends you if there is activity. So if you know with an elderly relative that they really, you're not expecting them at a particular time at night, for example, to be in the backyard or in a particular part of the house, it'll send you an alert if you've got a sensor in that area, if there is activity there. And so if you're worried about, you know, an elderly relative and them sort of wandering off or, you know, maybe getting a bit disoriented or being in part of the house they shouldn't be, it can send you an alert straight away. And it's almost instantaneous, the alerts coming through. So, yeah, that's a really good point. And we're finding more and more of our customers are thinking about their whole family and relatives. And then sometimes, you know, a number of the kids of elderly parents have a system like this set up on their smartphone, and they're taking it in turns to sort of oversee and monitor. So, yeah, it's a good point, and that's a real growth area for us in our business.
All right. Cool. Good stuff, Jeremy. Very cool. I hope people enjoy this conversation that we had with Jeremy about smart security. So, and you'll be at CES next year.
Yeah, so we're heading to CES in January. We're exhibiting in the Central Hall again. I think this is maybe our 10th year in a row or maybe 11th year in a row there, and we're next to some of the real big boys like Nikon and Samsung. So pretty excited, an Aussie company amongst those heavy hitters. So, yeah, it's exciting, and it's a really good launch pad for us for the year ahead. So, you know, a number of the products we talked about today, that new door phone and 4K and some new variations in the Smart Series will all be launched at CES. And we've also got one other one too, Brad, is we've got a battery camera that it's wireless, truly wireless, battery powered, rechargeable batteries too.
Okay.
We're going to launch that at CES, and that's pretty cool too. That's 1080p video. Same sort of concept we talked about today with, you know, the ability to see everything on smartphone, but the fact that it's battery powered really adds another dimension in terms of where you mount it around the home and ease of setup. So we're really excited about that wire-free camera that we're going to launch at CES as well.
All right. Sounds awesome. Jerry, thanks for being on. Mate, if you want to hang around and have a chat with Tam from Dutch Vinyl, you're more than welcome to, mate.
Will do. Thanks, Brad. I'll hang on.
Thanks, mate. Thank you. Darryl, before we get into Dutch Vinyl, who do we have on a Monday?
We have the managing director of, I think it's the MD, managing director of Twitter.
That's wrong.
There's wrong, MD? Didn't you say
anything? That's wrong. On Monday? No, actually, we have another show on Monday to do.
Oh, well, see, normally, because I was thinking that might have been the one on Monday, because I know that's not a normal. It's not a normal.
It won't be a normal episode, but for people out there, on Monday, myself, Darryl, and Andrew will be chatting with Liz Ross from Freeview.
Ah, the Freeview one. Sorry, I got my wires crossed. Yes, I knew it was something to do with, Freeview. Yes.
They're going to be launching the new app.
Ah, cool. For the yes.
iPhones, and that's going to be awesome. Can't wait for that. Excellent. Looking forward to that. And okay, let's get Dutch on. So keep talking, go to Jake if you want to, or whatever. Try and get him on.
Keep the conversation going. So Jacob, can you see some benefits of having some video cameras or around your house? Or is Jacob gone?
Is he gone?
No, I don't know. He was hesitating. Oh. So
ring Tam now.
Cool.
And see if he answers.
Dutch Rhino.
Hey, Tam. How are you? It's Brad.
Hello, Dutch Rhino.
Hey, Tam. Can you hear us? Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Can you hear us? Hello?
The wonders of technology.
Can't hear us. Hello? There is dead air. Hello?
Yep. Just when you think the technology's foolproof, it lets you down.
Yeah, exactly. Keep talking for a minute. I'm just going to quickly ring him and just tell him that we tried to call him. Just keep talking. Don't be dead air on the podcast.
We can't have dead air on the podcast.
I think that guy said his name was Ronald.
What?
So whether it was a
his name was not. Who's Ronald?
No, I don't know what. It might have been a wrong. Maybe it was the wrong number. Who knows? But
no, that was him. That was.
Oh, that's okay. Because I was thinking maybe we dialed Donald Trump or wasn't Hillary Clinton.
I know for one thing, with Schwann's, just be careful with the website. You don't put an S on it.
Oh, you get somewhere else.
A food website.
Ow.
Hey, Tam. We just tried to call you, but you couldn't hear us. Oh, really?
So, Jacob, have you voted yet?
I'm not going to.
Oh, you're not going to?
Nope.
Because it's not compulsory over there in the States as it is here in Australia.
There's nothing for me to vote for.
Ah. But don't you have, you don't just vote for, like, the president or you've got all a list of, your politicians and then your mayors and police chiefs and all that. Or is that, or am I wrong? Is it a whole list of people you vote for during, like, everyone's just talking about the president, but there's all these other officials that you've got that you can vote for.
There's two groups.
Ah, okay.
There's the central group. Then we got the city.
Dutch Rhino.
Hey, Tam, it's Brad. How are you?
Hello? I can't hear anything except noise.
Oh.
I'm just going to hang up now.
It's technology.
Why is it not working?
It's Skype, the wonders of Skype.
Crazy.
Got Skype actual account.
You know what? I'll keep talking for a minute. I'm gonna go into the Hangout and do it from there.
Go ahead.
It should work. I'm not sure why it doesn't work. Because we did it. Because we interviewed Chris from Northside Records.
Yep.
And it worked fine. We got him on the phone.
Ah, okay. So you were scoring. You were using Skype to call the phone. Phone.
Yeah, he's got a Skype phone too. But I don't understand how.
Might be a Skype issue. I mean, you never know.
Yeah. When you were playing your music a while back, you thought you were playing it. It was all dead air.
So it's look, it could be a Skype issue. It's technology. We were doing that training this week, and as one of the trainers said, whenever you're doing anything with technology, you've got to have a plan B, because plan A will inevitably fail at some stage. And so you've got to have a plan B.
I have a plan B. I'm going to try the Hangouts just for a minute.
See if that's use Google. Give Mr. Google an opportunity.
Okay, Just keep talking because I don't want any dead air on the podcast.
No. We can't have dead air on the podcast.
So Darryl, tell us about your podcast just for a minute before we...
I've done the beta version, which I did last month, of Conversable, and I used one of our as a test person. I used one of our members of staff, or actually, she's a contractor who works for us at MACE, Mansfield Adult Continuing Education, and we talked about her life in education and training, and we also used as an example of what training was coming up at our organisation. So I used that just as a way of testing the podcast, making sure that my hosting was set up correctly, and I used Libsyn for that, and made sure that, you know, I had it set up so that iTunes now would pick it up and pick up the feed, all that sort of stuff. So there's all that infrastructure stuff, if you like, to make sure before you actually launch it. So, yeah, I'm ready to go. And so if people want to be a guest, because it's different a bit to Tech Webcast in the sense it's not a panel style podcast. I mean, it can, yeah, there's no reason why we couldn't have an episode like that, but it's basically a one-on-one interview style podcast where, and I don't have a set topic. So in other words, if a person comes on and they're interested in a particular field, well, they're you know, a student of history, or they're in technology, or they like literature, or they're into music or whatever, I'm happy to chat to them on that, because it's more about what they do rather than what I do. So so if people are interested, and it's you can email me at conversablecast@gmail.com, or you'll see I've got a website. Well, it's actually the Libsyn website, conversable.libsyn.com, where the actual beta version is up. But it will, or catch me on Facebook or on Twitter or Google+, and say, hey, I'd like to be on the show, or I want to know more about what it's like or the format, and happy to reach out.
All right, just calling Dutch phone on now to see if he answers this time.
This is the world of technology.
Dutch phone on.
Hey, Tam, it's Brad.
Hey, Brad.
How you going, mate?
I got the same thing again. I just got lots of noise from your end.
Yeah, I'm actually using Hangouts, Google Hangouts, to make this phone call.
I beg your pardon?
I'm actually using Google Hangouts to make a phone call to you, because Skype wasn't working very well.
No, I think sometimes if you use those things, you get interference sometimes things, because it sounded like there was a radio kind of cutting in over the top or something weird.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, can you tell us about Dutch Vinyl and how long you've been around for, mate?
Well, the shop opened in February. And we sort of were working on setting it up for about 3 months before that. And it was set up by the owner, Mark, and myself.
Okay.
And initially...
Oops.
Okay, well, that's failed.
We might have to get him on again at some stage.
Yeah, you're going to have to.
That might be the easiest way, because it looks like the technology's not being friendly, or it might be whoever's end it is, it's not being friendly for us this afternoon.
Yeah.
But we'll anyway, again. Yep, we'll get him again.
Information.
Yes.
Check out the shop anyway. I'll try and reorganize it again. We're trying to get him back on, but interesting story on how that all got started. But so Darryl, you showed your vinyl records the other day, mate. Just real quick before we wrap up.
Yeah, I did. Well, I finally got sort of photocopied shots of them with my phone and sent them out to you and Jacob, and then I uploaded them to Facebook. So it was sort of like I didn't really realise I'd had that, because when I sort of stopped using my record player, I just had them stored in the cupboard you know, there was a rack where I had my records, and I just had them stored there, and I really hadn't looked at them since I moved into CD era. And so it was sort of like I pulled them all out and thought, oh, I haven't got anything that anyone's going to be really interested in. But I pulled them out, and then it was like, oh, I did have that one, and I forgot I had a Goanna one, and I remembered the Beach Boys one, and of course I had some I had a Deep Purple one and Midnight Oil. I knew I had the Oils because I was always a big Oils fan. And so I pulled them out. I did have a couple of other ones that I didn't really. There's one, I think the Bushwhackers, which were I had a Mozart recording too, but I didn't know whether people would be particularly interested. It was from the original movie Amadeus, which was, I suppose, can't think how long ago that movie was out, but the life of Mozart. So, but yeah, it was nice to sort of pull them out again and think, oh, I've got that one. I didn't realise I still had it.
Okay. And are you going to get back into it, Daryl, at all?
I think eventually I'll get it. I'll try and resurrect my turntable and I'd need a. I mean, I'd have to check this. I think my speakers are still okay. I think it's the amp that probably died on me, and I'd had it for a long time, and I used it even well after the era of vinyl. I was using the amp because I hooked it up to a CD player. I had one of those carousel, you know, 5-tray CD players, and so I used that same amp for a long, long time, and I think it probably died, and so that's when I sort of stopped because it sort of died, and I thought, oh. So I'll probably have to get a new amp or something at some stage. But, yeah, I certainly wouldn't mind playing them again because they're just sort of sitting there in their covers, and I haven't played them so long time. So they'd be like old friends when you sort of put definitely. Them back on them. You sort of a few memories flood back, I'm sure,
amps are pretty cheap to buy any of these. You can pick up a second-hand one for about, I don't know, $200 or something.
Yeah, look, I think obviously, you know, over time those sorts of things, the prices of within relative terms have come down. So it's just a matter of, yeah, me sort of doing it. But it was just amazing how I sort of stored them away and then sort of forgot about them as the sort of the year of CDs came along. We were all doing CDs and then streaming music came along and it was all there, and I'd sort of forgotten about them all until you guys started doing, you know, a few vinyl episodes of Tech Webcast, and it was sort of like, oh, and then you sort of said, well, show us your collection, and I finally got back to have a look and realised, I think my brother, and I'll have to ask my parents, I think my brother's got quite a reasonable size, some still stored here, because when he moved to the United States, he didn't take them with him because of, and so I think he's got some records around somewhere that I'll have to sort of delve into that are stored somewhere at my parents' place.
Yeah, definitely. What about you, Jeremy? Are you into vinyl records at all, mate?
I've still got all my vinyl records in storage upstairs in my house. But it's interesting. You know, I talked earlier about my daughter who's 14. She's asked for a record player for Christmas.
Oh, wow.
So it's funny how, you know, records and vinyls come back into fashion. And, yeah, I'm certainly, you know, and having talked to you guys a few weeks ago, it sort of made me want to go back and get all the old records out, which I haven't done yet. But, yeah, I'm going to. I certainly love vinyl. And I mean, it's fantastic that it's come back into vogue.
Yeah, especially, so your daughter's 14 and she asked for a record player. That's amazing.
Yeah, and this is the bizarre thing. We've got three daughters. The 12-year-old, we were going to get her a record player anyway, because she'd also expressed an interest, and then the 14-year-old's requested one as well. So we'll probably just get one and they can share it. But, it just shows that they're thinking about it. And hopefully, you know, the other side effect of that is they'll start to like my old music too, because normally when I put it on, they hate it. But if I can show them that it's cool because it's on vinyl, maybe that'll change things for me too.
Yeah, that's fantastic. That's just amazing. That, you know, I couldn't believe it. Yeah, that's yeah. What do you reckon about that, Daryl?
The interesting thing was it might breach the generation gaps between, because music's always, you know, sort of fairly generational. You know, we all like the music we grew up with, and as you get older, you sort of think when you're young, really young, you think, oh, I'm not going to be like my parents. I'm not going to poo-poo other people's music and all the rest of it. But as you get older, you tend to sort of cling to the music that you loved that defined who you were and the memories you have when you're growing up. So something like bringing back a record player and having a 14-year-old and a father listening to records together might be some way of sort of breaching that sort of almost that generation gap, you know, sharing music, discussing it, even if it's saying, "Dad, that music's crap," at least it's discussing it.
And yeah. I find that when an old song comes on, I'll often think back to the LP that it was on for, and sometimes the compilation. So I heard a song the other day, and I think it was "Love Really Hurts Without You" by Billy Ocean, and I remembered that was on Ripper 76.
Right.
One of the compilation albums that we had, and then another one came on. And I was like, "Oh, that was 82 out of the blue." And you know, you sometimes you think back to the LPs of the past, and so I am really keen to go back and get them all out of storage and start to playing with my kids.
I'd forgotten about the compilation albums. Oh yes, those old ones in the '70s where you'd wait for the compilation to come out. You know, and
yeah. Well, growing up I grew up in Bairnsdale in Victoria,
and we didn't have,
you know, a radio station that played the hits all the time. I think maybe they had a 2-hour window where they played the hits, but most of the time they just played easy listening. So, you know, Countdown and those albums were sort of, that was the place you went to hear the latest cool music when you were a kid. So certainly that was what we did.
Yep.
Yeah.
Countdown. Yeah, yep. Countdown's another, you know, it was another wonderful resource. Everyone used to sit around and listen, or no, sorry, and watch it on Saturday night. It was great. I love Countdown.
What about
Sounds on Saturday mornings too.
Yep.
What about, Darryl, what about Hey Hey Saturday?
Yeah, that was that. I mean, I used to watch that too, but I think it's that Countdown was great because if you lived in the bush, you know, I was actually born in Bairnsdale, but we moved away when I was only a baby. But if you lived in the bush, you didn't often get to hear the latest music because the people that were playing music, the older generation, were playing an older style of music, and that wasn't around. So the only way to actually listen to what great bands were was either on the radio, hopefully to get and of course radio stations were problematic in the bush, or it was shows like Countdown where suddenly you saw people with, you know, platform shoes and sort of and long hair and all the rest of it, and that didn't relate to anything you saw in the local street, I can tell you.
Yeah, definitely. Interesting. All right. So let's wrap the podcast up. So Dutch Vinyl is on hold. So I need to reorganize that. So to get him on Skype because he's apparently I don't know why he couldn't hear us on the phone. But
it was obviously some technological bug. But hopefully we can get him back again at a future date.
Yes, definitely. You can get me on Twitter at Brad Oz and Tech Webcast. What about you, Darryl?
You can get me at Learnscape on Twitter or Darryl Hunt on Google Plus. As I say, I'm still keeping the lights burning on Google Plus, so you can find me there as well.
Good stuff. Jeremy, what about you, mate? Where can they get hold of you?
You can find me on the Swan website, swan.com. You can email me at jeremy@swan.com. That's SWANN.com. So, yeah, send me an email. Love to hear from people. And check out our website, swan.com.
Awesome. Thanks so much. Appreciate you sending the drones to us, mate. You're a legend.
Thank you.
Hope you enjoy them. Yeah, I'd love to hear back once you've had some good flying time. Let us know.
That'll be great.
Definitely will. Jacob Jones, what about you, mate?
Well, you can find me at jazzbot326691z.
Are you into records at all, mate?
So-so.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Are you going to get a record player for Christmas?
No, I need a soundbar.
Soundbar?
Mm-hmm.
You need a Sonos? Get a Sonos soundbar. They're good.
$499.
What are?
The sound bars.
The Sonos is fantastic. They're awesome.
Okay.
Great sound. All right. Thanks, guys, for being on. Appreciate
your
time.
Thank you.
Thanks, Darryl. And Jeremy, thank you.
See you, guys. Talk to you next time.
Yep.
Tech Webcast. The hosts and guests are unsurpassed. Tech Webcast. Cause technology, it moves so fast. Tech Webcast. Ha! have a blast. Yeah! Tech webcast. Ha! Tech webcast. Big ups to Andrew, to Brad, Jody, Steve, and Jennifer! Boom!